Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Brady and Walker. Now. TV. Sportsnet 360. Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Ah, yes, 2 o'clock hour. It's Friday. It feels it. It's a big sports weekend. Last weekend, we had the Jays in town and the Raptors playing a home game, and it was beautiful weather on Saturday. But the Ides of March have caught up with us. It's bad weather. The Raptors are 2 games away from being eliminated, and the Jays aren't home. So things change a little bit sometimes. Dwayne Casey, I hear this, and again, deference to Dwayne Casey, knows more basketball in his little digits than I do anywhere in my big digits. He wants the Raptors to get physical. Wants them to get physical and hit and bang bodies and maybe a repeat of James Johnson posterizing Andre Drummond. Do you like that posterizing word, Walker? I've never liked it. I don't even think it's a verb. I'm not sure.
Puts you on a poster.
The kids, there's no posters.
What's your point, Greg?
He wants them to get physical. he wants to let the Wizards hear their body talk. Body talk. Don't do that. I mean, okay, fine. Stop falling for all the pump fakes the Wizards are utilizing. Maybe take one size 15 shoe off the ground for a defensive board instead of leaving them to all to Gortat and Nene. Now, forgive me, is he Brazilian or one of them is Brazilian? I'm just finding out about all this now. The Raps made the third most three-pointers in the East in the regular season, the second most in getting to the free throw line behind only Chicago. Do that. Don't worry about hitting. Don't worry about bodies. Don't worry about making people pay. Make the shots. Stop playing players not making shots. Tell players playing not making shots to stop shooting and pass to players making shots. You just got to be who you are.
This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I call that commentary. It's about the shots.
It is about the shots.
It's about the shots, stupid.
I like it. You make a good point. Be who you are. So hour one, the theme is your rent is due. Whose rent's due? Pretty much everybody, including the head coach on this basketball team tonight. Theme number two for this hour is, be who you are. I would agree. A lot of people don't agree exactly with how this team plays. But guess what? You ain't changing it now. You're 2 games in. You haven't been at your best for the first 2 games, but what's the one thing they can do? And the thing they did more than anybody in the Eastern Conference, score.
Shoot and
what,
score.
Did we not learn a lesson a little bit with the Toronto Maple Leafs? You don't have to love Randy Carlyle. And it was probably time to move off him. But when they fired Randy Carlyle, who said, a couple of weeks ago, sitting there watching the Anaheim Ducks in the playoffs, hey, listen, we were what we were, and we had guys that could skate and transition and score goals. And we did that well, at least. And what they stopped doing well after they fired Randy Carlyle was exactly that. They didn't score for a month.
Like, I know the physical concept of how basketball is played is a lot different than it was in the 80s and 90s. And everybody's got all these theories. It's coming up together in the youth basketball. It's guys who all wanted to play for each other, and they wouldn't have done that. And obviously the rules.
And we don't have bad boy Pistons teams anymore.
And you never will,
right?
Again. Yeah. No, even the Knicks teams. The Knicks teams tried to brutalize Chicago, the Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley teams. Yeah. What you won't get is that, but you'd never, some of it's cliche. You have to hear coaches speaking cliches, players speaking cliches. Dwayne Casey has to say he needs better effort, but I don't buy that he thinks that's what it is. He wants his players to look for more open looks. He wants the hot shooters to shoot and the cool shooters to be smarter and pass it up when there's nothing there. He doesn't want Jonas Valanciunas to even bounce the basketball, let alone try a bouncing hook shot. What I see also is you'd never, Andrew, hear a coach say to a physical team, if there were such a thing anymore and their team's more physical than others, hey, you know what's not working? Play finesse. Stop playing take more shots. You'd never hear it the other way around, but it sounds cooler to say hit somebody and effort and pounding and rough and tough. And I'm not sure that's what they need. They need to be smarter and have a better basketball acumen about when they're taking shots and especially who's taking them. They do.
It's Andrew Walker. It's Greg Brady. It is Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And you're watching on Sportsnet 360. Brady and Walker at Sportsnet590.ca is our email address. At Brady and Walker on Twitter. Coming up after 3, we'll do our Friday mailbag and best Question today, best email, best tweet gets a Sportsnet prize pack that we will show you a little later.
Okay.
Just so you know. The answer is probably somewhere in the middle. Because on one hand, I completely agree with what you're saying. And on the other hand, I think that I know what Dwayne Casey's saying as well. If by watching the first two games, you haven't realized that playoff basketball is a little different than regular season basketball. The referees let stuff go. It's more difficult to get to the line. They let more contact go on the inside. That's obvious, but that hasn't changed, right? We've known that for a long time, just like playoff hockey is different.
It's not
changed. A guy like Devontae Smith-Pelly, guess what, is going to have more success in the postseason than a guy like Mason Raymond. That's just how it's always been.
Kyle Lowry had a quote today. I'm reading this from Ryan Wohlstadt, who's excellent, who writes for the Raps for the Toronto Sun, covering the Raps in D.C., obviously, right now, game three tonight. Lowry and the Raptors being written off, quote, "Let them count us out. At the end of the day, they still have to win two more games. Don't mind the talk. Like to hear it." You won't hear that quote after three games. If they lose tonight, no one's going to be listening to the quotes on Saturday or Sunday shootaround.
Absolutely game seven tonight. It's win, or if they lose tonight, they're losing game four, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not that guy. As bad as they've looked, I'm not the guy to say, if they lose game two, this series is over. It's 2-0. It's unlikely. It's not impossible.
416-870-0590, star 590. You can call us 888-666-0590 nationwide, toll-free. And, of course, star 590 on your cellular device and at Brady and Walker on Twitter. What are you expecting for this weekend? Do we have it wrong? Does this team need to bang more bodies, need to be more physical, need to play certain players more? 416-870-0590 heading in tonight against the Washington Wizards in D.C. The Wizards did let the Bulls back into their series a little bit. They split last year. They won the first two in Chicago at the United Center. That was incredible. Again, no Derrick Rose last year. They have him now. They split games three and four at home. They lost game three. They won game four. And Chicago blew their game five at home. And some people thought it was going to cost Tom Thibodeau his job. They certainly revolutionized things in the offseason and got Pau Gasol. We see Jimmy Butler playing a lot more of a role. Taj Gibson playing a lot more of a role. I think all you can hope for is bringing it back. We talked about that and just splitting. I'll be thrilled with a win tonight. I won't be overly crushed if they don't win unless there's a great opportunity to do so in the middle of the game. But I say that now, and we all know your expectations and what you rely on can change.
Yeah, would you take the split? I guess because it gives you a fighting chance. But you win game three. You win game three. And you want game four. You don't relax in game four because you win game three. And if you lose game three, it's over in game four anyway. So,
All that is.
Of course, you want to get the series back here.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you lose game five, you only have yourself to blame. If you're 0-3 on your home floor against a five seed in the playoffs in this conference, it's legendarily bad for NBA purposes. And you've won a legendarily bad division 2 years in a row. That's not your fault. You got to play who's on your schedule.
There's a big difference here, even now. And both are disappointing and both would have been categorized as disappointing weeks ago and months ago. But even now, losing this series in seven is going to be disappointing. But it's going to feel different than if you lose it in four.
Yeah.
And again,
we talked about reputations and jobs and potential. Everyone thinks this team will be different next year no matter what. They could have gone to the conference finals, and they're going to potentially change a starter or two because they can. Ryan in Burlington, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hi, how are you?
Really good.
I'm calling because I was at game one and game two as well, and I saw the Raptors would always pass the ball to either Lou or DeRozan, and with that, you can't get past Gortat or Nene anyways. And they're playing amazing defensively and offensively, both of those players, Nene and Gortat. And they're not passing the ball to Valanciunas as much as I would like them to. And if you look at it, Valanciunas got 26 points and then last game, game two, and nobody really even noticed that.
He shoots a high percentage. And
he gets to the line,
he's a great
free throw shooter for a 7-footer.
At the end of the day, though, I would agree. I think they need to go inside a little bit more to this guy, but it can't make or break you, right? If you were going to say at the beginning of the series, the way we win this series is Valanciunas puts us on his back. it's just not the way they're built, right?
Yeah.
It's just not the way they're built right now.
I'd love to. I want to look. There's two guys whose minutes I should have looked closer at, in all honesty, since Tuesday. And that's Gravis Vasquez playing 28 minutes in game two and being a minus 22 and being 2-for-7.
Oh, he got killed.
I know.
But that's because Kyle Lowry's in foul trouble again.
I know.
That wasn't the plan.
I know. There are no other options. It's that simple. And DeMar playing 41 minutes. That's great. And DeMar was, you know, he eventually got five fouls. But if I recall correctly, I think he had only the one foul going in, didn't have to sit. I feel like he played close to the entire first half, except for maybe 3 minutes. That's valuable also. Will in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Kelly Rudy just ahead, by the way, on NHL. But go ahead, Will.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I just heard your comment on how if you think the Raps are going to lose, if they lose tonight, that they're absolutely losing game four. And that just bothered me a little bit. I mean, I'm a sports fan. You guys know a lot about sports. And I just don't understand fully why you would count a team out, no matter what the situation, if they go down.
Well, who do you think is going to win the series? Who do you think is?
I think the Raps have a great chance of winning the series. I think the Wizards have a great chance of winning the series.
That doesn't answer.
It's okay. No, he's putting you on the spot. I know what you're saying.
It's not okay, but that's why you're listening to the show, and we have to be on it. We have to give an opinion on
it. There's a reason they play best of seven, right? I get it. And nothing is ever mathematically for certain. And there's a ton of people. You've heard them. We've heard them. We maybe even have been those guys at a certain time. Looking at the math and the raw numbers, and there's only three teams in NBA history that have been down 2-0 and come back to win a series. It's extremely unlikely. It rarely, rarely happens. But it's sports. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's 2-0. It's over. Let's talk about who's going to get fired when they eventually lose this. But 3-0 is just a different ballgame. I think in Toronto, we're used to a bit of the hockey mentality. We saw the San Jose Sharks blow 3-0 lead last year to the LA Kings. It happens.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen in the NBA.
In all sports, okay, in all the major American sports that play best of seven series, when you go up 3-0, you are 312-4.
Right.
It's
more than math. That's 98%.
That's 98%. Bill Barnwell had an article in Grantland last year. He mostly writes NFL, but he had this idea that at least is intriguing. It's like how they've talked about breaking down the conferences and doing different things or having a you know how with the Connor McDavid thing, everyone said, well, why don't we have a tournament? And all the non-playoff teams will play in the tournament. And the winner gets Connor McDavid. Ask the players how they feel about that.
Don't care.
They don't care. They will not exert effort.
Guess what, guys?
They don't want to put their equipment on.
Guess what guys are doing at the World Championships? Going out and boozing and trying to get to sleep before midnight because they got to play, you know, Denmark the next day. Here's the thing.
They wish the World Championships were in Las Vegas every year. Put it that way.
Some things, you know, we discuss sometimes. We're building the show and, you know, we have our opinions sometimes and what are we going to talk about? It's easy to forget that if you're listening, chances are you're not some unbiased sports fan that just watches sports for the sake of watching sports. You know who's listening to us? Leafs fans, Jays fans, Raptors fans. They don't want to hear how their team has no shot. They don't want to hear how it's over for their team. It's the playoffs. We've been waiting a long time for this. 3-0 goes beyond math in the NBA. Like Greg just said, 312-4. But I get it. Like tonight is the night. If they win tonight, they're right back in the series.
We're all a little reinvigorated. We are totally reinvigorated.
And that's just how it works.
Imagine if Sunday was back and game four was here. Imagine the fight to get tickets for game four in a 2-1 series instead of 3-1.
No question.
Huge difference. And I didn't say that to be flipped to the caller, but I asked.
As everybody thinks the Wizards are winning the series.
But he said, oh, they both have a great chance. No, they don't. They can't have an equally great chance at this particular point.
But he's also keeping the faith, right? If he says that when it's 3-0, we dismiss him and hang up on him.
I don't even think we butt heads. Because I think what's fun about the show is, our interaction, what we argue with before the show sometimes, and I wish people could hear it, is how much, you're right, how much of a dose of reality do people want? They're still fans. You're not fans short for fanatic. You don't have to be objective about your team. If you said to me, are your kids the smartest in their class at school? I'd say, well, I hope they are,
My bumper sticker says they are.
Yeah, the little, so you're biased. Everybody has a bias about anything, right?
You know? We're here every damn day, right? There's plenty of time for reality. And Monday, if they get swept, well, it's all going to be about reality.
Right.
Who's gone? Who stays?
They're your team. They're our team. They're the city's team. But it's you got a little bit of that mentality where it's the guy that comes to work and talks about how hot his wife is. People who had a hot wife wouldn't come in and tell everybody that they had a hot wife. They would just bring her in. They don't have to say so.
But you know how it is, right? Like, this has been a team that was 6-12 and they trade Rudy Gay. And since then,
yeah.
Two Atlantic Division titles, a lot of good vibes, a great 7-game playoff series last year. And then this year, everyone's waiting for the playoffs. Two disappointing games. Just two. It's a lot, but it's also just two. It shouldn't just automatically end discussion of what could happen, what can still be entertaining. It's a Friday night, and they're in the playoffs.
So, like, yeah, it's going
to
be great.
It was like last year with the Toronto Blue Jays. We all know they got out to a huge May, and in June had a 6-game lead in the Baltimore Orioles. And then things started to slowly but surely slip away a little bit. And there's the odd person that got so fired up that when they were tied for the division lead in August, so incensed of, why won't you just say the season's over? It's like, well, but it's not. It's just not how sports work. They might collapse. They might not collapse.
So let me give you the Barnwell idea really quick. I meant to come back to it. And it's my fault. We got sidetracked a little bit. So his idea is, when an NBA series gets up 3-0, when an NBA team gets up 3-0, the series ends. If you win, you get to keep the series going. So it's a 4-7 series, but they call it off when it's 3-0 because right. No one comes back. Now, I'm not for that idea in the NHL. I'm not for that idea in Major League Baseball because you can get a couple big arms, big starts, big bats come alive, and all of a sudden the series is 3-2, and we love that kind of intrigue. Imagine tonight if this was it. Imagine if that rule, quote-unquote, was in place tonight, and they either faced elimination or you're right back in or you feel right back in at 2-1. Imagine how they'd play. They should play desperate anyway,
yeah.
But they would play. It'd be fascinating, but like I said, some things are probably better off on paper. Like, it sounds great in theory to have postseason tournaments for Andrew Wiggins and Connor McDavid. Guys aren't going to show up and play in those things.
So last night, we had an elimination game out west between the Vancouver Canucks and the Calgary Flames. This has been a great series. Been a lot of bad blood. First time these two teams have met since the first round in 2004. There's two ways to look at this. The momentum shifted a little bit last night with Vancouver hanging alive, or Vancouver, who has been the second best team in a lot of games this series, just delayed the inevitable. Kelly Rudy joins us now, hockey analyst and broadcaster for the NHL on Sportsnet. He was working on the panel last night. Good afternoon, Kelly. How are you?
Andrew and Greg, I am awesome. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're really good. Tell us, you know, Walker's a big fan of food. I like food.
Yep.
Is it better eating in the studio on Front Street or better eating at the arenas? Because the arenas put out a great spread. We used to love to travel with NHL. NHL arenas can really pack it on thick. What's better? what are you guys eating in studio there?
Well, what did we have last night? So they do bring in a meal for the crew, and it's something usually pretty light, like pizza or sub sandwiches or something like that. But this year, we have taken the challenge, all of us, to try and eat a little bit healthier, although...
Oh, this is Elliot doing this to all of you, isn't it?
Well, Elliot's a part of it. As you know, Elliot has been vegan a few months ago, and he's really proud of himself, looking great and nice and lean and all that kind of stuff. But I can't remember whose urging it was, but it might have been Sophia's that we start bringing in some healthier food. So last night it was Nick's turn. He brought in a whole bunch of unbelievable fruit, some veggies, and some stuff like that. So we kind of nibbled on that stuff. And I got to tell you, it's kind of nice. I mean, I think personally, I haven't told the gang this, but I'm getting the raw end of the deal here because I don't have much of a choice here what I can bring in. My options are very limited because I do not have a fridge. I'm staying here in a hotel in Toronto.
Right.
I don't have a kitchen. I can't cook anything, nor would I anyway, so that's a bit of a lie. But anyways, I'm just left on my way to the CBC at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, try and stop somewhere and grab something somewhat healthy, and hopefully it passes the test for everybody.
See, we all like Elliot, but, I mean, you and I have been at barbecues and Stampede chuck wagons and huge 72-ounce steaks. I mean, you know, from Alberta, Elliot might as well just slap you in the face.
Exactly. Isn't that the truth? But he is kind enough to know that some of us aren't vegans and that we need to eat a big honking steak or something. Yeah.
Like, tofu's that big.
If Walker worked down there, he'd be bringing a giant boar with an apple in its mouth. And you know what? He'd also get David Booth on the panel, and that meat would be killed freshly. It really would. So, you would feel I'd fresh kill.
Kelly, did you feel a bit of momentum shift last night with that Canuck win, or is Calgary just too fired up and too impossible to beat at home right now?
You know, I think that I see a little bit of both. I'm a big fan of the Flames. As you know, I do the color for most of their games during the regular season, so I was lucky enough to follow this team and just see how resilient they are and all the qualities they have, of which speed is their number one asset, and their defensemen are awesome at making the first pass, and usually it's a long stretch pass to put the other team on its heels. But the other thing is, I thought it was a very nervous start for the Canucks last night. You know, they fell behind 1-0. Dennis Wiedemann, seconds later, hit the goalpost. A couple other good chances. Miller made a couple good saves. There's one chance that I recall a Flame had an excellent redirect, and it just went wide. And then after that, I thought that the Canucks kind of settled in, got their game going in the second. And in the third, it looked to me like that was a dominant performance by the Canucks. So I see a little bit of both. I'm unsure how it's going to start off tomorrow, because at times, to me, the Flames can start a little bit slow, especially at home. So that might be the opening the Canucks need.
We were recapping a little bit, and I think we're doing it with Eric Francis, that 0-4 series, and the momentum swings with Calgary not winning the game at the Saddledome. They had to win, then being very close, and they get scored on by Matt Cook, and they force Game 7 overtime, that Alex Auld series. And I just feel like, God, that first goal, it's such a cliche, but if Vancouver gets it, every caller in that building tomorrow night, Bob Hartley's included, gets tighter, doesn't it?
It would. And the thing is about the Canucks is that this is a team that they're searching for that confidence. And last night they got it, like I said, especially in the third. They got the early goal in the third by Daniel Sedin, and then it was a different game by them. I mean, they were really smart, killed off a couple of penalties in the third period, but every time the Sedins went over the boards yesterday in the third, you could just feel that they wanted the puck. They were dominant. They made so many great plays, not only to set up scoring attempts, but I just thought that if they didn't have anything happening, as they do so well, get pucks deep, don't make any stupid plays, don't allow the Flames to come back at you, and I think that they're going to need another game just like that from everybody. They had no passers. Kevin Bieksa was good. He made a great play in the third period to break up a potential 2-on-1, 3-on-1, so everybody had a role in it yesterday.
So, Kelly Rudy, our guest on Brady and Walker, I got a text last night from a friend of the show. He comes on all the time with us, Darcy Tucker, and said, hey, he goes, when did T.J. Brody start looking like Paul Coffey? The development of this guy in short order, especially, you know, after Mark Giordano goes down. I know he's not the only guy responsible for that on that back end, but he's one of a number of things that has all come up roses for the Flames.
No kidding. Again, I was lucky enough, not only because of my job covering the Flames, but living in Calgary, so first got a real good glimpse of Brody about 3 years ago, and recognized the potential there, and he's just continued to grow and gets better and better, and Tucker is right. This guy skates beautifully well, excellent first passer of the puck, jumps into the play and knows what to do, because often you see guys that defensemen can skate really well. They want to lead the charge, and they skate themselves right into trouble. And Brody rarely ever does that. He just has a real knack like Paul Coffey did. I'm not comparing him to Hall of Famer Coffey. That's a big stretch.
No, Darcy did that. You don't have to.
Right. But, I mean, this guy is a remarkable hockey player. And besides that, he's a great defender, too. So he's got a really good stick. He's not the most powerful hitter or anything, but he does hit. But he just recognizes what's going to happen, great anticipation, all that kind of stuff.
Kelly Rudy, our guest, joining us. Darcy has learned a lot from listening to our show.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
he does text and tell us.
Yeah,
so
he's doubled his intelligence.
Tripled.
Michael Backlund had the quote that was getting played today, certainly in Calgary, even out here, basically pulled the old, and someone always does it, I get it, we will win game six. There's no way we're losing at home. How much do you believe in the, hey, you like the confidence, or there's no need for bulletin board material? I mean, where do you find yourself?
depends in what context the statement was made. And so I don't know exactly how this was said, so I really don't have much of a thought on it other than Michael Backlund is a really humble, nice person like virtually every other Swede I've ever met in my life. So I doubt he meant it in a boastful type way. So I think that it was just a passing comment and that he's very confident in his team, which he should be. And by the way, Kiprios and the entire gang were raving about Backlund last night behind the scenes because I know Jim and Craig were as well during the broadcast. His game is he's a really smart hockey player.
Where are things at with Tampa, Detroit? Could you put yourself in the shoes of Petr Mrazek last night? I mean, just to lose, have overtime force is one thing. To have your team completely and utterly abandon you on a 3-on-1, you know, the best thing would have been had Danny DeKeyser got called for a penalty on that game-winning goal and somehow a Red Wing player touched the puck because they would have taken the penalty instead of a 3-on-1. He was really hung out to dry on the last goal and didn't get much help in front of him.
Well, first of all, go back to when it's still 2-0 for Detroit. The four of us are chatting behind the scenes watching the game, and all of us agreed that there's nothing happening positively for the Tampa team. They just had nothing.
Yeah, they were not knocking on the door, were they, the first 55 minutes?
No, it's not as though it was all Mrazek and that it was only a matter of time until we could see them breaking through. It just looked really bleak for Tampa. And as Nick said in one of the intermissions, it looked as though that little skirmish got them going a little bit, got them engaged in the game. Shortly thereafter, Johnson, a beautiful rush up the ice. I mean, how fast is he when the player that he outraced into the Detroit zone was Darren Helm, one of the fastest guys in the league. And then Mrazek goes down a little bit early and exposes the top part of the net. Johnson scores. All of a sudden, it's game on. Minute 17 later, Palat gets a great feed from Johnson. And at that moment, guys, I know it's going to sound ridiculous now because we know the outcome, but I really thought that Mrazek struggled after that. You could just sense there was an overwhelming feeling that had been placed on his shoulders, and he just looked uncomfortable after that. And to your point, whether it would have been a penalty to DeKeyser, it just seemed if Tampa were going to get a chance, it was going to go in. So I felt badly for Mrazek. He's only 23 years old, but unfortunately, as a goaltender, you have to go through moments like that and learn how to not get caught up in the feelings or the emotion of that situation, and I'm sure it's a great learning experience for him.
Momentum is a funny thing, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's any more helpless feeling as a fan or maybe as a coach is when you see something slip away. And I even go back to that San Jose LA series last year. They say momentum doesn't always carry game to game. Well, tell that to the Sharks. You just knew when they let the Kings back into the series, it was going in the wrong direction.
That's right. And then luck is a part of it. You know, you look at that 3-on-1 with Hedman leading the way. He almost falls over. He almost loses his balance.
And he was pretty deep on his backhand, right?
Well, and the backhand actually wasn't a very good pass. It hit Mrazek. So in HD, you can clearly see that the pass, it's more like a shot attempt or just a missed pass, hits Mrazek, and Johnson is just waiting for any little cookie to come his way. He's always ready to shoot. He gets a bit of a break right there, and he buries it, and Quincy can't do anything. I think it might have even hit Quincy. I can't remember, but, I mean, so some luck had a part of it.
We'll be watching tonight. Thanks for this, Kelly, and eat hearty. We won't tell anybody that you're having two meals, basically, one on your own to carb load and then eating all these veggies and kale that the other people are bringing.
All right. Enjoy the broadcast, guys.
Thanks very much. There's the excellent Kelly Rudy.
Soybeans are just delicious.
Was it? And that's very strange, right? Like, we end up doing this. That said, I think we sometimes do our best arguing when we're hungry and ticked off. Like, we, you know. Hunger can create a little tension, can it, really?
You're right. It's like those Snickers commercials where, you know, Don Rickles is making an appearance.
So three games tonight. Ottawa, Montreal on CBC. That's great. Pittsburgh and Rangers. Could be season over for Pittsburgh on the road, season over for Ottawa on the road. That's on Sportsnet at 7. Minnesota and St. Louis, the late affair. That's a very late start for St. Louis, Missouri. Around 8:45 local time puck drop at 9:45 Eastern. And, of course, we should tell you, Jays, Rays, with R.A. Dickey and Drew Smyly pitching. Jays try and go for four in a row on Sportsnet 1 at 7 o'clock.
So we'll tell you something when we come back that might really, really surprise you or not. I'll be watching the Jays and the Raptors tonight. Brady's evening is set watching the Bruce Jenner special with Diane Sawyer. And I'm not joking. That's what he does.
Most people thought you'd be watching Bruce Jenner and I'd be watching baseball. It's
yeah, that's what people think.
Yes,
yeah.
It's opposite mm-hmm. day. The Parent Trap. All right, more Brady and Walker next on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Back to Brady and Walker. On TV at Sportsnet 360. Online at sportsnet.ca/590. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So true. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Now we're talking. Monday night, Massey Hall. Hey, listen.
I thought this wasn't your jukebox.
It's not my own personal playground for music. It isn't. You can make a request in the 3 o'clock hour.
All right.
Oak Ridge Boys, do you want some Alabama?
Yes, that's what I like.
So, Jerome Williams and a few. We saw this story. Now, do you remember your prom? We always call them formals in Canada. Do we really use prom? Are they formals now? And there's a semi-formal?
Yeah, we don't have proms in Canada.
And a quarter formal? And a junior formal?
It was just a grad party is what it was.
So, a guy in, just south of Vancouver, actually, in Washington State, invited a girl, to a prom.
This is high school,
yeah,
right?
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. This is a new thing now. Like, people are, because of social media and Facebook and Twitter, you see, you know, videos on Twitter all the time of people creatively asking.
They want celebrities to do it, or they ask celebrities to come. Like,
if right. Yes. J.J. Like, Watt or something.
Like a 17-year-old might ask, I don't know.
Zac Efron.
Yeah. Hazel May, our friend Hazel May, to go to prom.
Sure.
You know, and we know her husband.
Turn him down.
We can keep her husband busy for the night while she goes to prom. There's nothing wrong with that. So this guy at Le Centre High, what he did was he strapped fake explosives to his waist.
Ah, that's a bad idea. I don't know how this ends. It's already a bad idea.
Walked into the school. This is Ibrahim Ahmad. He strapped fake explosives around his waist this week as part of a stunt to ask Riley Wolf. Oh, she seems like a lovely young lady. To prom. And the district quickly responded by sending him home that day and giving him a 5-day suspension. She said yes, but he cannot attend the prom. He made a sign like you would at a ball game. I know it's a little late, but I'm kind of the bomb.
Oh,
Riley, will you be my date? To, yes, you guessed it, prom.
Yeah.
So he rhymes. I mean, it's like a Butch Carter tweet. You need a Webster's dictionary to figure out what the hell is going on. RT.
Yep, bad idea.
We agree, right? Like, I know all about, oh my God, and fake outrage and all this stuff. We hate it. But they have to suspend him. He walked into school looking like he had a bomb. He did.
Yeah.
He had a bomb around his waist.
It's suspendable.
My heavens.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. We're very pleased to have our next guest on. He, of course, had an extensive NBA career and has been on teams going deep in the playoffs, has been on teams in the same kind of trouble the Toronto Raptors are in right now. Jerome, the Junkyard Dog Williams, joins us on Brady and Walker. It's great to have you on, JYD. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
We were talking earlier about that 2-0 mentality, and you follow the other sports, too, so you'll see baseball teams come back 3-0 down. It's happened a lot in the last decade in hockey where teams at least force a game 7. It has never happened in the NBA. Do you have a theory why at 3-0, is it just human nature takes over and you just can't will yourself to tie the series? What happens?
Well, it's psychological, number one. I mean, being down 3-0 is just insurmountable. You have to win 4 straight games. And in the NBA, it's hard enough to win 2 straight, let alone 4. The odds are just not in your favor. Everything has to go right, and you have to play perfect basketball. But teams have come back from 0-2. That's possible. It's still hard, but there is light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, and I think, like, we've taken some calls today and gotten some opinions from fans, and you wonder if the players think the same way. There's a big segment that says, hey, 2-0, we've seen the math. It's over. It's virtually impossible. It can be motivating. It can be insulting to write off a group of professionals so quickly.
Well, you know, obviously when you're down 0-2, typically you're going back to your home court where you're more comfortable,
right,
where you're seeing the, your fans, you're sleeping in your own bed. But this is the exact opposite. They've taken complete advantage, the Washington Wizards, of home court advantage. They're entering their big, their building up two games and feeling comfortable. They feel like they have pretty much developed a game plan that is suited for Toronto defensively. They've definitely pushed the envelope in terms of getting the Raptors to not do the things that they're capable of doing. They're getting the ball out of all of our top three guards' hands, trapping Lou Williams, DeMar DeRozan, as well as Kyle Lowry not being 100%. And they're really taking it to Jonas JV on the post, on the block, and putting him in situations where he has to move his feet. And that doesn't bode well for the Raptors.
Jerome Williams, our guest on Brady and Walker. So a little personal anecdote. I covered your series in against Atlanta in 99. And if you remember, you guys got blown out there twice. It was gloomy. I think Grant Hill answered every question with, "I don't know." And he wasn't trying to be Marshawn Lynch then. He just didn't know what was going on. You whack them at home in games 3 and 4. And then I remember you guys went on game 5 and they couldn't play at the Georgia Dome for some reason. And you guys had to play at Georgia Tech. I was there. I should remember. But I think
that's
it was
right
at Georgia Tech. And I thought that's the one time we might see a team come down from 2-0 because Atlanta's never played in this gym before, and it was a closer game, but it didn't happen. But the mentality is, like you just said, it's such a home court league in the playoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, the energy in the building in the playoffs is totally different than the regular season. The fans are very excited, and they're very motivated. They obviously have been rooting for their team all year. The loyalists of the loyalist fans, these aren't the fans that give away their seats during the regular season for some games. These are the ones that say, no, this is playoff. This is what I paid my money for. I'm going to be there for my team. I'm going to be yelling and screaming at the top of my lungs. And once that happens, it makes a difference. It makes everything get a little tighter, makes things, you know, the ball feel a little nicer in your hands, and you just have this good overall feeling. And the teams that lose home court, you know, it's like a heavy weight over your head because now you know you have to go into a hostile environment. You have to go to Washington. We had to go to Atlanta. And those places are not easy. Now, when you get to a game 5 or a game 7, you know, there is a familiarity. So it's not as overwhelming because you've reached that pinnacle point of the match where both of you have won 3 games apiece or 2 games apiece, and you're saying, hey, mano y mano, we're pretty good. You're pretty good. Now, you know, you have a slight edge because you're at home.
I want to ask you about Kyle Lowry. Over the last calendar year, nobody in this city has been a more popular athlete than this guy. He's the heart and soul of this team. I don't know how healthy he is, and I wanted to ask you what you were seeing. He's been in foul trouble every minute of this series so far. Is it more that? Has he not had a chance to get on track and be that leader, or is he really banged up and we're just learning about it?
Well, you know, a regular season, 82 games, does take a toll on the body, especially if you're the guard. And Kyle has always been a hard-nosed player. He reminds me a lot of Alvin Williams, coming from Philly, playing at Villanova. And he gets in the paint and mixes it up. This isn't a guard that stays on the perimeter and waits for the ball, waits for the bigs to get the ball. No, he goes in there and he gets into the fight. And his back has taken some liberty or some issues to that because that's what has really slowed him down towards the end of the season. Now with the shin injury, these are mounting things. And again, when you have a tough guy like Kyle Lowry, obviously there's nothing that's insurmountable. The problem is he's guarding the fastest two-way player in John Wall for the next however many games. That's a problem because at the end of the day, you know, even if he was at 100%, he would still be a step slower than John Wall. And that's just with all due respect to both players. John Wall is one of the fastest, if not the fastest, player in the NBA with the ball right now.
Jerome Williams, our guest. So tell us what it was like playing. So when you're at Georgetown, they were still the Bullets, and they weren't very good. Did you feel like you guys were the basketball team in town and not the Bullets, and now the Wizards are. They've never really caught fire in that city. We know the NFL team is huge, but even with, they had Howard and Weber at one point, they couldn't win. They've got a number one overall pick. Maybe things are brighter now. What was it like being there? The Bullets were kind of, like I said, number two compared to you guys, compared to the Hoyas, yeah?
Well, you know, one thing about the Wizards and the Bullets, they've won championships. And there's a lot of teams out there that haven't. Now, that was back in the day, similar to the New York Knicks and others. But they've won, and they got that banner up in the rafters. I think that growing up, we always looked at that with a sense of pride that we had won.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the players that either played for us or other teams were, you know, had gone and moved on or what have you. The Wizards, remember back in the early 2000s with Gilbert Arenas, really challenged LeBron James. I think that Agent Zero had pinpointed and motivated the city a little bit. And then, of course, once he kind of got injured, and then they took a slide back. But, you know, for the most part, the Wizards are in need of a lot of excitement. This has been the first team that really has given them a glimpse of hope for playoff, wins, if anything. And the Toronto Raptors are trying to get over the hump of getting out of the first round. That's a very, very hard thing to do, extremely, extremely difficult in this league because teams have been working and building to this point, and they want to get to that next level. And it's not easy. It's a culture thing. It's a teamwork thing. It's a camaraderie thing. And it's a whole city thing. And, you know, right now the Raptors just have to, you know, suck it up, get back to the real basics of, developing that game plan that, you know, they've seen what they're trying to do. And now other guys have to step up. They're trying to cut the head off the snake. They're saying, you know what, the point guards run this team. The guards flow with DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and Lou Williams. If we stop them, we stop the Raptors. So you know what? Other guys have to step up. They got to get out there, get their elbows greased up,
yeah,
come in there with their headbands and high socks, start barking at the audience.
Here we go. Keep going. You're doing fine.
Environment. That's right. They got to bark. They got to get mad. They got to get physical. They got to get, like, mean. They got to get down to it.
Oh, we need you. We need you in the lineup tonight. Damn it! Your knees aren't that creaky. Get out there.
I'm gonna fly into Washington right now.
Sign one of those.
I can cause some ruckus. I get close to the bench and start elbowing.
Sign one of those John Long 10-day contracts. You know, do one of those things.
Hey, tell us about your radio show. We know doing a show is the most difficult thing. You got to be smart to do it. JYD.
We're not sure about that.
JYDshow.com. What's going on?
That's right, JYDshow.com. I mean, I'm with my brother Josh, who the show is called Trash Talking with Legends, and he never played a day in his life. Okay, he's all about, you know, he was a ball boy in every city in the NBA, and most notably, of course, Toronto, and of course he rubbed elbows with everybody from Phil Jackson to Michael Jordan to LeBron James. So he has a mindset of a super fan. He feels like he knows the game. He's talked to GMs. He's talked to head coaches. So he feels like he can really trash talk and put guys in their place. Now, me, being the legend that I am and leader of the dog pound, I'm the people's champ.
That's right.
I got to
let
him know he doesn't know a thing about the game, but I'm the ruler of the roost. So we go back and forth, and we talk about the NBA and the draft and everything around the game of basketball, and give a lot of insight into some of the behind the scenes stuff that goes on. So it's a lot of fun. Hopefully, my Toronto dog pound will start showing
up,
because we want callers to come in. We want people to really pose those questions, to really, you know, get into the teeth of, you know, what they really want to know behind the scenes. And that's what we allow them to do. That's what it is. Trash talking with legends. JYDshow.com.
If you steal some of our ratings, we're going to come after you. That's all.
I know.
Not much to steal.
You guys are on at a different time.
Good, perfect.
That's the safety of...
Then steal away. Steal away.
Well, for now we are. Thanks for this, Jerome. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for
having me.
There's
the dog, JYD, Jerome Williams. Game 3 tonight. Game 4, by the way, right here on Sportsnet 590. We have a huge 3 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk about Peter Chiarelli's interview with Diane Sawyer and Bruce Jenner becoming president of hockey operations for the Edmonton Oilers.
That's very close.
I don't think I did that right.
No.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.